The WLEW News and Public Affairs Department now presents What Do You Think? Here is your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. Our guest today in the studio is Josh Roganbuck. He's from Flower Farm in Bad Axe. We're going to be talking about an effort going on in the community. He's trying to drum up more support and more people get involved in the community for America in Bloom. It's a program that will have judges coming to Bad Axe later this year, checking out our town under many different levels, not just how many crocuses we can have blooming at the time. So thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
What is America in Bloom? How did this start? What are we getting ourselves into?
Well, it's a nationwide competition that has expert judges come in and check out our town. They're experts not just in flowers and trees and plants. They're experts in quality of life. They're experts in municipal functions and getting people involved in their city, and also experts in having people be proud of their community and really reflect on all the strengths that we have as a town. So they would come and judge us on several different criteria. One of them is, of course, flowers, because it's America in Bloom. But they check out our forestry program that the city provides, and environmental efforts, and how we preserve our history, also how our community is involved, and then sort of like an overall impression of the town. And that isn't necessarily a measurement of flowers either. It's the feeling that you get when you walk in the door.
And a lot of it has to do with quality of life, is just going to be, you know, first impressions.
Yeah.
They come driving into town. What are they seeing? Do they feel like they're in a community that's thriving or one in decline? All of these types of things are going to come into play.
Yeah, and when the judges are done, they give us a wonderful report to tell us how they feel. What do we do really well, and what could we use a little improvement on? And to the groups that are helping bring the competition to town, that's what they are very interested in, is to hear what other people think. Not necessarily that we're so concerned about what everybody thinks, you know, when they come to our town, but when you have outsiders come and give you a sort of an overall impression, that's a good measurement.
And there is a committee, a group that has organized to get this ball rolling and to be there to meet and greet the judges and try and, like doing through the program here today, get the community started and get involved and make their impression good too.
So far we've got half a dozen or so people on our committee. They're from the media, newspapers, and the radio here. And we have a representative from the HISD and of course, from the Chamber and the Downtown Development Authority. We have some Master Gardeners also included in the committee. We're always looking for other people, and they don't have to be part of a service organization or a city group. They can just be an individual that's interested in helping. And really what the committee's job that we're charging the committee with is to identify those things that we already have that we really can be proud of, and make sure that we expose to everyone so they even know they exist. And then we're going to identify a few projects that we'd like to spruce up and put some finishing touches on the town before the judges come. And rather than the committee doing all the work, we would like to join a project with a group. The slogan of America in Bloom, and the major goal that we're going for, is planting pride in communities. And if we can take all these things that we're already proud of and work on some things that we can be proud of together as one big unit, rather than all the individual little segments, which already do a good job on their individual projects, but if we could do one big project together as a town and really be excited about it, that's what we're looking to do as a committee.
And I suppose it would help if you're not duplicating the project, because you want to show them variety. Not everybody has a rose garden, or everybody has there's all different kinds of things to see and to enjoy in the area.
Yes. For example, the the Historical Society has the Allen House Museum, and one of the projects is going to be to replant a garden on their grounds back to the period of the home. So it's going to be vintage plants that would have been living when the house was there, and to kind of appreciate the history of that home.
Would that also more most of the times in the older days, you know, it wasn't all ornamentals, it was a practical garden.
Sure, absolutely.
You had tomatoes and you had other things that you would do in bulk and can and have for the winter. I mean, we were a little less, let's go to the grocery store, and more of let's plant something in those days.
Absolutely. Another one we're thinking of doing would be that's going to happen is the one of the churches in town is going to be doing a community garden, and we hope to have that be a little bit of the project as well, to have some of our people involved in it and show the judges that that's going on in our town too. And then when it isn't just going to be the municipality of Bad Axe or the businesses in Bad Axe, it's also going to be individuals. We hope to have contests for maybe the prettiest city block or best dressed church or best dressed business. So it could be lots of individual people involved in it too, rather than these groups doing all these projects. We want it to be everybody involved.
Has some of this gone out of favor or practicality? We had the recession and people were just looking for something that's going to come back every year and I don't have to bother with it. People are busier these days. You know, it used to be you'd go out and you'd tend to your garden and you deadhead the roses and you do all that. A lot of people are thinking more about, you know, I have a play date for my kid to go to and such. So is part of this trying to get back that old community feeling?
Yes, absolutely. And when you talk about a play date with the kids, why don't we go outside with the kids and play in the dirt? The connection to nature.
Because obviously you don't do the laundry.
Well, I have to do that too at home sometimes. We are, as a society, losing that connection to nature, and the more of it that we can encourage, the greater a society we can be as well.
How big of a boundary is there for this competition? I mean, there's Bad Axe, the city limits proper, but much of Colfax and Verona Township adjacent to Bad Axe is kind of considered Bad Axe. I mean, they have the address, you know. It doesn't say Colfax, it says Bad Axe, but still, is it strictly limited within the city limits, or can you be a little more the Bad Axe municipal area? Or?
It would be sort of beyond the city. We can certainly, if there's something that's to be shown to the judges when they come outside of the city limits, they're not going to cross it off the list when they come. It's certainly going to be something, if it's part of our community, they're going to look at it. Certainly inside of the big wooden Welcome to Bad Axe signs. And that's another project. There's all those service organizations that are hung on that sign. We're probably going to be looking to some of them to help us renovate a few of the decorations around those too. And it's not just flowers, it's trees and shrubs, like you mentioned, that are going to be simple. You plant them once and you enjoy them from there on after with very little input. But it's just making the place comfortable and helping to just improve the way it feels when you walk in the door, I guess, or drive in.
Is the committee there to help individuals if they come to the meetings? So they, you know, some people, you know, we have absolutely no concept of, you know, what looks good. I like this kind of plant, but it shouldn't go there. It's going to grow huge. You know, it blocks the window. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you really need to know about landscaping and design that's going to make it look the best it can. That a lot of people don't have the skill set for that. Is that something that coming to your meetings here, you can find people who can help you get a little advice as to, you know, keep the low plants in front and try and get some that bloom at different times so you've always got something? There's all kinds of, you know, I wouldn't say tricks, but there's a skill to it to make it look good. You can run out and buy a bunch of plants and it'll look good for a week and a half, and if you don't water it, it's gone. But you're looking to have this good when the judges come through, and what you plant in June may not look, may be out of bloom already by July.
Well, there would be myself and the master gardeners that come to the meetings. I'm sure that if somebody was really interested and putting some lipstick on the pig.
Not exactly the best, but there'd be some advice there.
Yeah. And it wouldn't be something you'd be charged for. It'd be, you know, we kind of sit around and visit about it. And certainly if you're really lost, the master gardeners come out and do consulting, and I come out and do consulting, and I certainly do a lot of visiting with my customers at my store, and so do the other garden-related towns around the or garden-related businesses around the area. You know, we're kind of there to give you the advice and help you be successful. We don't want you to get frustrated.
People make the mistake when they, you know, I bought a bush, and it's yay big, and it looks good at this distance from the house, but it won't look good 10 years from now when this thing is three times the size and it's, you know, pressed up against your brick. I mean, the experts can tell you that, you know, this is going to get tall, this is going to get wide, and give you an idea so that it not only looks good when the judges come in a couple of months, but for a long time to come.
It's going
to
be something you can appreciate for a long time, and that's, again, the planting pride and community slogan of America in Bloom is really what we're going for. We're not looking to just slather the town in flowers. That's not necessarily what Bad Axe is all about, but there is a lot of research to show that a connection to natural things, plants and flowers, and taking care of those natural things really encourages happiness and healthiness, and a whole bunch of benefits can come from having that connection.
As long as they're well kept. If it starts looking like the Addams Family house and they're all dead, and then people get depressed.
You know? Mm-hmm.
And you have to realize that there's a little upkeep and a little work in many of these projects. It may not be a lot depending on the type of materials you use, but for the most part, if you want to make something look good, you get what you put into it.
Mm-hmm.
Is the city getting involved in this? They do a lot of stuff downtown. Are they, you know, and I know budgets are tight, and do they normally do stuff, and you're just going to try and coordinate so that everything, you know, fits in with the themes?
The Downtown Development Authority already provides the big pots and the big hanging baskets downtown, and a lot of the businesses are already wonderfully fitting in with that and providing their own flowers on their own front windows and facades of their building. And we want to encourage every business to be included in it in some way. It doesn't have to be, you know, hundreds of dollars of petunias in front. It certainly can be something small, but
hundreds of dollars in petunias. I haven't bought them in a while, but I would think that's an awful lot.
Yes, it would be an awful lot. They don't cost too much on their own, but the city and the Downtown Development Authority have the starting point, and the committee is going to be charged really with where it goes from there.
And you mentioned other things, like when we were talking just prior to the show here today, it's going to be things like how the ball fields are kept. Are they aesthetically, you know, pleasing and such? You know, if all of this comes together, you go to some big cities and the ballparks are almost gray from the blacktop and everything all around them, and the buildings and such. Or ours are definitely much greener.
Yes, our DPW and whoever else takes care of the parks just do a great job. And there's stories behind a lot of the stuff that's there.
The
rotary tree plants a lot of trees.
You had that wish tree by the
Yes,
school,
the plant-a-wish tree behind the high school. That the high school has this outdoor classroom, and a few years ago, you may remember that we had a filmmaking couple come through and do a tree planting, and the tree that's behind the high school for the plant-a-wish project is going to be featured in a movie at some point that discusses native trees in areas. And you know, there's a lot of the rotary plants, all the trees around the parks in our town, and the veterans park that's by the courthouse was put in by a wonderful group of veterans, and some of the plaques that were there before that park got put in got moved to another place and replanted by another group of people. we really want to tell those stories because we, as I said, we already have a great deal of things to be proud of, and just driving by them, you might not even realize it.
And you were mentioning even things like forestry. You know, we have some woodlands around by Wilcox Park.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually, you know, it's not quite woods, but there's a lot of trees around the Log Cabin Park downtown and stuff. Things that you might not see in a larger city or community that doesn't look to its history as we do.
And just the trees along the city streets should be celebrated as well. And they're well, you know, for the most part, they're well taken care of. And we have professional consultants come in and do a survey of those on a regular basis to make sure they're healthy. And our utilities help take care of them as well. You know, one of the feelings that I got when I was in college and trying to decide what to do with my life, when I drive home from college, even though it wasn't a very far drive, when you drive in on Huron Avenue from the west, those great big trees are just open arms to welcome you into this town.
And we lost a few of them.
But they're getting replanted, and how great is it that the homeowners got to have a chance to have a say in what gets replanted there.
Well, and they were getting near the end of their life anyway. You're more probably aware of this than most folks, but when they start rotting from the inside, they're a danger, not only to the people driving by, but to the houses nearby and mm-hmm. the utilities and such. And it's sad to see them go, but sometimes you just can't save them.
Mm-hmm. And the next step will be bigger and better for many, many years to come, too.
And hopefully we've learned, you know, that they do require maintenance, and you don't let them get to the point where they're rotting out from the inside.
Yeah.
You keep them properly, you know, trimmed so that they're not breaking off into two and collecting stuff and rotting and all the other things that happen to older trees.
Well, and they have a lifespan, too, and the city has done a very good job of anticipating when a tree is going out and kind of getting replacements lined up to take their place too. You know, they're not going to live forever, and if we maintain them so that we get a good long life out of them, then that's the best we can do.
Yeah, more winters like this, we're not going to keep a lot of trees, are we?
You know, it's amazing actually, after that winter, I think we'll be surprised how much actually did survive through it.
I mean, it isn't, you know, back to the Ice Age or anything. I mean, these were typical winters years ago,
mm-hmm.
and that's why when you buy your plants, you look for zone whatever 5 or whatever we're in, because they thrive in those areas, and these trees have acclimated themselves and the other plants, so they do pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah,
it was a rough one. Certainly not going to be surprised, you know, that some of them didn't survive.
But then again, I think there's mortality any season, isn't there?
Sure is.
Lightning strike, anything can...
Mm-hmm. Or if a plant didn't have good insulation from the snow, or, you know, who knows? There's a lot of different factors. They're living things just like we are.
And, you know, you were talking about, like, at the Allen House, vintage. Do we have to be concerned with vintage type of plants that maybe they can't handle what's out there today? We have, you know, invasive things like going after the emerald ash borers and all these other things out there. We've lost a lot of historic kind of trees that were typical here in Michigan to such pests.
Yeah, well, when you look at emerald ash borer and Dutch elm disease and things like that, there's a lot of those really great old plants that are at least by the wayside for the time being. But then there's others that have kind of evolved with us, and actually some of the really good heritage plants have a better chance of surviving than some of the really high-tech new varieties do. And it's sort of a thing that people like me have to look for. We got to find some of those old ones that are timeless and really have stood all the trials that generations have given them, and we have to include some of those in the mix.
Some of those didn't have to deal with being by the roadside and getting dumped with salt every 3 days when the plows go through.
No doubt.
That seemed to be this winter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. A little bit back to what's going on with America in Bloom. Very soon the committee is going to have a laundry list of things, like I mentioned, that already exists that we want to showcase, but we're also going to have a list of projects that we'd like to have happen in town, and we're going to publish those wherever we can get them published, in the media, the newspapers, and the radio, and on our chamber website and our chamber Facebook page, and probably the Flower Farm, and whoever else can spread the word, so that we can match up service people and individuals and groups with these projects, and we can get a really great plan going forward, that once it's finally good weather, we can get started on some of these things too.
Planning is essential in this.
Yes, it is.
No matter whether you've got a little plot in front of your house or whether you're trying to do something much bigger with a service organization, mm-hmm. you just can't go out there and you know, here, mm-hmm. we'll put this here, here, and here. You need a plan, because you want it to... It's almost an art, I think, to make it look like it could have naturally happened, but you know it didn't.
Absolutely.
And so you have to do the planning, and all of that people don't see. They only see the final result.
Mm-hmm. And very few sometimes even see the final result until we point it out to them.
Are you going to, like, maybe publish the tour that you're giving them, so that other people may want to, on a Saturday, run around and see what the judges saw?
I would say having everyone run around and check it out would be more important even than having the judges see it. We simply have... We're wealthy and really neat little things around here to be proud of, and we certainly are going to make sure everybody knows about all of them.
And besides the naming of it and the judges coming to give you a report on what they found, no other fanfares, kudos? we aren't going to be on HGTV or anything?
Actually, we very well could be. Those networks, HGTV and DIY, are sponsors of America in Bloom, and some of the big, you know, like Scott's and a brand that we use, Espoma and Bonide. Those people are wrapped up into it, and Home and Garden Showplace, and a bunch of the really big horticulture brands are actually big driving forces behind America in Bloom. And so, you know, we'd be recognized on a national scale. There's only three other towns in our size bracket in the entire country that are going to be judged. So the worst we can do is fourth place across America, and we're the biggest town by far in our size category. So we have a lot of resources that maybe some of the other ones wouldn't, and we have an excellent chance to be the winners. And so we'd certainly have the bragging rights of being in it, and if we won, we could put up this big sign in our town. But you get recognized nationally, and the winner, everyone that's involved in it, gets to go to a symposium in the fall and get recognized in that way, and rub shoulders with other townsfolk and see what they do in their towns, and bring the ideas back for another go around. And you know, there's... But so much of it is this planting pride in communities thing. If we can come together as one town and one community and do one big project together every year, or one year even, that's really what we're going for, to really be proud of what we've got.
Well, that's the big win right there.
Mm-hmm.
Other things people need to know, when are the meetings, if they want to come and get involved, do you need more committee members?
We certainly will take more committee members. Absolutely, we'll take more. The next meeting is going to be out at my shop at the Flower Farm on Pigeon Road on Wednesday the 23rd, so 2 weeks from today, at 6:00 in the evening. And yesterday's meeting that our committee had lasted a couple hours, but we're working on putting the profile together for the judges to look at before they come. And once we get through that, then, you know, it'll just be an hour or so at a time, and kind of get together to do this planning that we need to do.
Well, and you figured out where you're going to take them. Now you have to make sure where you take them is some place to go.
Mm-hmm.
Terrific. Who bears the cost of this? I know the chamber and the DDA helped with the cost of enrolling in the program. Mm-hmm. Is this basically the service groups that are going to be helping out on their aspect, and the businesses that help out in their aspect? Is it totally community that way?
For the most part, it's going to be the people that are involved in it will be helping with the cost of it. In a lot of cases, there's going to be very little cost. In some, there might be a little more. there are grants available from some of those big businesses that I mentioned, and they're coupled right with America in Bloom to make it very easy. And we'd also look to, have donations from, different businesses like mine that have extras that could include it, or it could help out. We're also going to, one thing I don't think we mentioned is we've talked so much about the service groups and things like that, but we'd like to also have individuals be a part of it too. And we'd like to host contests, like maybe the prettiest city block or the best dressed church or the nicest downtown business and the nicest uptown business. And maybe we'll have a contest for the ugliest house in Bad Axe that your neighbors can nominate you for. And if you win that, then you get a free makeover.
Well, just make sure that your neighbors aren't, just about ready to go off the edge.
Yes, there would be some discretion involved in it. It'd have to be in good fun, but...
Okay. And is there any overall theme you're going for? I mean, we're going to be in July. Are we doing kind of a red, white, and blue patriotic thing? Is there any overall tie-in that you've come up with, or is it really just a potpourri, so to speak?
I would say more a potpourri. If we, as a committee, decide, there's something we want to do, then we certainly will go with that theme. But the judges kind of look for diversity, and they, more than anything, they want to have just everybody all in, and any level of involvement and level of beautification that you can do is going to be appreciated.
Do you generally just need to worry about the front of your house, or do they walk to the back to find out if the it goes all the way around?
It depends on where we take the judges. It's going to be about the story you want to tell to them.
You can,
if you have the prettiest backyard in town, we're surely going to...
A lot of people do more in their backyard than their front because it's fenced off. You don't have the deer. You don't have the rabbits getting in there and eating all your stuff that you're working so hard to tend.
And if gardening is our hobby and a place and a thing that we do to relax and to enjoy that connection to nature, then the backyard is certainly going to be where it shows. That's where we're going to enjoy it.
So do these people who do this and think they really have, something special back there, do they need to get a hold of the committee, let them know that this asset is out there? Because you may drive by and you've made it so private and secluded, it's one of the best kept secrets in town.
That's absolutely true. They're going to, if they want to be showcased, they're going to have to speak up.
You folks know that, it's available, and, this is the type of garden we do, whether it's an old English, whether it's a vegetable garden. I imagine vegetable gardens, most people dress them up a little bit.
Sure do. And there's an awful lot of...
marigolds keep the bugs out, I know that.
And there's an awful lot of people that grow way more than they need, and they share with their neighbors, and the amount of happiness that comes from that garden can't be paralleled by anything else. And those are the stories that we want to tell.
It's sort of Bad Axe in bloom. And when we're done, okay. And when we're done, and say we win, do we have to defend our title? Are we required to come back the next year and say, take us on?
Not required, but I can't see why we wouldn't want to.
Okay. And it's based on population, so we're not going up against Beverly Hills, Michigan, Detroit, or anything like that. We're basically communities of similar size, similar diversity of income, and such that we're doing apples to apples.
Yeah, we're, like I said, we're the biggest one, and actually the other three are more out west. We're the only Midwest one in our area, and that can be for us or against us. We'll have to see how that works, but.
Should be unique then.
Yes, we certainly will. We will stand out because our look is going to be different.
No tumbleweeds, no cacti. So we're going to be a little different that way.
But those towns are definitely similar in makeup, and we're definitely much closer to comparing apples to apples than if we were going to go against Grand Rapids or Chicago or
Holland, Michigan.
Yeah,
tulips. You'd be out of your league there.
Well, except the tulips are all gone by the time the judges come in the summer.
They'll plant new bulbs late and enforce them. I don't know.
But Holland won a couple of years ago in their size category, but they're bigger than we are, so we're not even going to worry about them.
Okay. Is there a place people can go for more information? Is there? Does the Bad Acts Committee have a website, or is there info on your website? Is there some place they can get more info? America in Bloom obviously probably has their own website.
Yes, americainbloom.org. Would be probably the first place I'd look, because between myself and my business and the chamber, all that sort of thing is still in progress. But the flowerfarm.biz will have some information about it when we get that far. And www.badaxmish.com is the chamber's website. That will have some information on it when we get that far. And
it'll at least have calendars tell you when meetings are and such, so that you can join up and be a part.
Yes.
Well, terrific. I hope you get a lot of people involved in this, and I can't wait to see what you do to the town. And well, we got you here. I just can't let you go without asking. People have the itch, you know? I want to get out there. I want to do something. Is there anything you do at this time of year? Are there certain things you should be pruning this time of year before they bud out? Are there things you can be doing to be outside, even if it's still too uncertain to actually put anything in the ground?
It's certainly not too early to prune ornamental trees. You can do them all the way up until the buds still start to show green on the branches.
Ornamentals like?
Flowering crab apples and weeping mulberries and cherries and things like that.
It's not going to take all your blooms off that you're going to end up with a bare tree when you like to see it pink.
And this is the time of year that you can see the bones of the plant, and you can selectively pick those branches that are dead or dying, diseased, or they're overlapping each other, or, you know, you're selectively picking the duds and getting rid of them.
Trying to get air and light through, is that the whole point of pruning?
Yes, yep. And fruit trees are the same thing. You can do them right now.
But people don't want to take a chance on missing an apple, because I could have had one on that branch.
Oh, but if you have too many branches with too many apple buds, then they don't turn out very well either.
They end up looking like cherries. They're too small.
Mm-hmm.
Got to have enough for the size of the tree to produce the fruit.
Yes, and the tree to be healthy enough to get the fruit all the way until it's ripe.
And the branches have to be strong enough to hold the fruit. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're on the ends, and I remember my dad had trees, and he was afraid to do it, and they're like almost on the ground, and it's like, you know, that's not right. Mm-hmm. We have orchards around Romeo here. We know what they look like.
Mm-hmm. You can plant, we're going to have a couple cooler nights after the weekend, but there's several days of warmer nights ahead of us right now. I've got violas and pansies, and we're going to be doing a workshop with those this weekend, and a make and take workshop with some salad greens next weekend. Salad greens a lot of times are hardy enough at this point. If we're going to have a really hard frost, you'll want to cover them up or bring them in. But
is it early for peas and stuff, some of the colder vegetables?
A lot of those, as soon as you can till the soil and it's dry enough that when you smush it in your hands, it doesn't stay a mud ball.
They will germinate even though the ground may not be really warm. It's still kind of cold underneath.
Yeah, or they'll sit there until it gets warm enough. And that whole farmer's almanac thing of planting potatoes on Good Friday, you know, Good Friday's less than 2 weeks away. If you can get them in the ground, it's probably not too early. But the ground's got a little ways to go, too, in most cases. But we'll have them available for those people that are interested.
Do you have to worry there's too much moisture maybe yet?
Certain
things can rot.
Yeah, if you can till the soil and take a handful of it and smush it together, and if water is getting wrung out of your hand, if you can smush it together and throw it down on the ground and it crumbles again, then you're pretty close to where it should be. You know, but if you're wringing water out of that handful of soil, then you're a little early.
Are we really that late, or does it just seem like this winter never ended?
Well,
we have had a normal type of spring, and we'd have still had to wait till about this time.
This is probably pretty close to normal. The thing about spring is it's very closely attached to the date of Easter, because Easter always falls on the whatever the formula
is. It's the first Sunday after the first full moon after spring.
Yeah. So that vernal equinox thing has more to do with when spring comes than the date on the calendar. So we actually are probably pretty normal for the arrival of spring, but winter came early and we never had a let up. Actually, for our plants, that's a good thing, because that back and forth between warm weather and really cold weather that happens in most winters in Michigan is actually harder on a plant than a really sustained cold.
And we had that 2 years ago or wherever, we lost all our fruit crops because they started to bud out in March because it was 80 degrees, and then it got back to normal and mm-hmm. they were gone.
So, yes, it's been a very long winter because it started early and we haven't had any reprieve. But it probably is pretty close to a normal start for spring.
Does it bode well for getting rid of a lot of the pests or like fungus in the ground around your roses and stuff? Is this type of stuff, you know, kill it off better than just a mild winter where it warms up and really doesn't get a good killing frost?
It certainly makes it harder for some of those pests. We're definitely going to see what happens, but there's a lot of people saying that, you know, like the emerald ash borer and the Asian longhorn beetle, that isn't necessarily here in Huron County, but it's other places in the world that aren't from here, and they're not tempered for being here. Those ones probably, I highly doubt they're going to be gone, but their numbers are probably going to be reduced. And that'll be good.
That would be good. I know the farmers tend to think that, you know, stuff in the ground that attacks their rootworms and stuff, you know, that attacks their corn and stuff, generally they do a little better because they've been killed off in mm-hmm. a cold, cold, cold winter. But then again, if it's snow covered, the ground may not get that cold. That's an insulator.
It is. So the fields that were wide open, those farmers will have a little better killing of the bad things.
Too early to take your protection off of some of the plants that you take? Some people wrap plants up for the winter and keep them, you know, from being exposed to the whole harsh cold winds and such. Too early yet, or should they be breathing by now?
It's going to depend a little bit. Like people that have rose cones, when the sun's shining like it is outside our window right now, it's a good idea to let them breathe, but keep that rose cone close by for this weekend when it's going to get down to 25 degrees at night. The plants that are wrapped with burlap and things like that, I wouldn't take it off just yet because they can breathe through it anyway. Wait until we're above freezing every night, and that should make a big difference.
Did we change our habits with the milder winters we've had? I mean, I remember when I was a kid and I was a little nipper running around the backyard. You didn't buy anything till Memorial Day because it would get killed. I mean, mm-hmm. it would be frostbitten and gone. That was the way winters were back then. Have we kind of gotten out of that? And maybe people are going to get surprised this spring and, you know, have to do like some of the farmers do and replant a field.
You know, I think, you know, that connection to nature that I talked about earlier, I think without really realizing it, we crave that connection to nature, and sometimes we'll go against the rules and we'll go and grab those plants just to see a living thing and touch it and have it for a decoration in our yard. And heck, if it only lasts a month, you know, we've wasted more money on less.
But this is a time when if you have something like that, you can get plants started early, you know, with a greenhouse type effect or the lean-to cold, whatever they call them things, mm-hmm. You might be able to get an early jump on some vegetables and stuff. Because it may seem like we're going to be planting later, you give them an earlier start and then you can transplant them out where you really want them. This would be something that could get your fingers dirty and get that feeling while still not feeling like you're committing genocide on these poor plants by putting them out there this early.
Yes, and we've had a ton of customers this spring come looking for potting soil and pots and seeds and getting things going so that they can, you know, I think it was a natural thing for generations before now, but it's still part of our DNA, and people want to go and do something even if they don't realize what they're up to.
Well, but sometimes the only way you learn what you're up to is by doing it, and you learn many times more from your mistakes than you do from your victories.
One of my first college professors said the best way to learn how to grow a plant is to kill it two or three times. You just have to be observant and not get too discouraged.
And don't buy the most expensive plant.
Right. Play around with the the little ones and the less expensive, and get your green thumb from there.
Well, at least give people the hope that it's coming.
It will come.
And like I say, I was outside and I found little buds on the shooting up out of the ground from the bulbs that were planted in the fall. So nature is trying, mm-hmm. even if winter doesn't want to give up at times, like this weekend coming up, it's trying.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have to do is hang on to your little victories until the big ones are here.
Yes.
And we wish you good luck on the America in Bloom project, Bad Axe in Bloom, we should call it locally. And I hope you get a good community drive going on to bring some color and flowers to the area, but also work on how we present ourselves to others and to ourselves so we enjoy the better way of life we have around here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks for being with us. Our guest today on the program has been Josh Roganbuck from the Flower Farm. America in Bloom is the project they're doing. They have a meeting coming up on the 23rd. 6 p.m. I believe it is, Flower Farm in Bad Axe, North End on M142, if you want to get involved in the program or just want to see what they're up to and see if you want to get involved. We'd be more than glad to have you stop on out and find out what's happening. I do want you to stay tuned. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.